Hello and welcome to the October Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of haunted pals get together to talk about spooky anime. The pals are Vampiric Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Goblin Gauze.
Wait, Garza, it didn't sound very well. You're going to have to do it closer to the mic. Even if it leaves us deaf.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
And I am your host, Ghoulish Ace. I don't have a sound effect. In today's episode, we are talking about Corpse Party Tortured Souls, aka Corpse Party Tortured Souls Bogyaku Sarata Tamashi no Jokyu, a four-episode OVA from 2013. I chose this one because it's October and we're covering horror-themed stuff. It was produced by Asred, the studio behind Shuffle, Future Diary, you probably haven't heard of either of those, and Mother of the Goddess Dormitory, which we specifically did not cover on season one of this podcast because it's about a 12-year-old boy being constantly put in sexy situations, and the third episode contains a camera shot between the legs of his 12-year-old classmate who is wearing a short skirt.
That explains so much about this anime.
Corpse Party Tortured Souls has a My Animalist score of 6.42. This is based on the 2008 horror game Corpse Party by 5PB, which was actually a remake of the PC game released in 1996. It's been remastered, remade, and re-released on a lot of platforms.
Which was actually based on a tabletop game from 1800s.
It's been on PlayStation Portable, Mobile, PlayStation 4. I think it missed the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 era. But anyway.
It also re-released on Steam again in 2021.
Exactly. You can pretty much pick this game up.
Go play it now. Or watch the anime. I don't care.
Listen to the podcast first. Stop telling people to pause the podcast.
Okay.
I apologize for what you've done, Ghoul. And wait, no, sorry, Goblin Gores.
I'm sorry.
My summary for this anime is a friendship ritual goes wrong and things get worse from there. Altora?
When trying to perform a ritual to remain friends forever, things go awry, leading the school group into an alternate dimension.
And Ghouls?
Corpse Party is a story of a group of high school friends visiting an old elementary school where they talk to children and face their demons.
You definitely summed it up.
Yeah, without spoiling that it's a horror story.
Because if you heard Corpse Party and thought, ooh, that sounds like a fun party.
Well, like corpse as in military.
Corpse as in the YouTuber. Halloween party?
Corpse as in when an actor on a live TV show starts laughing even though they're supposed to not be laughing at that precise moment. The industry term is corpsing. So.
You see, we're in the clear. They don't know what's happening.
We're also totally not covering this on October, which is... You were only covering heart. Oh no, we spoiled it, didn't we?
I mean, that's a coincidence.
Right, this is four episodes, so we'll get started. We open on a dilapidated school during a storm with sounds of laughing children. We then cut to one of our protagonists waking up in said school and wondering where she is. She picks up her student ID and stares intensely at it for several moments before remembering. We then flash back to classroom 29, where a group of friends are telling spooky stories at night during a storm. It's an urban myth about the school which used to stand where their current school is, and how after several murders, the principal killed himself and they tore down the school. Their school is Kisaragi Academy, and the old school was called Heavenly Host Elementary School. They replaced an elementary school with a high school.
I mean, that seems, yeah. Maybe they should have made something other than a school there.
Well, I didn't make any note, a specific note about this, but I do have a question about Heavenly Host. That's a three-story tall elementary school. with like a science room and a history room. And I really should have looked up how elementary schools are designed in Japan, because in the UK, the kids just stay in one class all day.
Yeah, maybe it was a for special gifted children or something. I mean, the name sounds like the name of a cult. Heavenly Host.
This is true.
I'm also having like repeated question that I need cleared up at some point. Do they ever lock those fucking schools, or can children just go and come and go whenever they want, like in high school?
I mean, at the start, the teacher says that they were asked to clean up and then go home. So they cleaned up and then told horror stories. So they didn't like break into the school or anything.
Yeah, but oftentimes I see that in anime specifically, that children are there after hours, just unsupervised. There's no one else, just fucking around.
To my understanding, and again, this is coming from someone that's never lived in Japan, supposedly they're expected to like clean up after classes and stuff. So maybe that's the excuse, is not so much they don't lock anything, but rather they're staying around so the mischievous kids just stay around longer.
The students are expected to lock up and unlock the doors in the morning.
Am I getting paid for that?
No, you're a school student. You don't earn money.
You're getting paid with knowledge.
Oh.
Anyway, just as Shinazaki talks about the ghost of a teacher knocking twice and asking, "Are you still here?" that very thing happens. But it's their teacher, Ms. Yui, who is playing a prank on them. Satoshi, one of the boys' little sister, Yuka, enters, having come to school to bring him an umbrella. And it turns out that they decided to do this scary story thing because Shinazaki is moving soon. Before they leave for the day, she wants them to hold onto a charm that she found on the internet as a way to remain friends forever. They do the ritual, which is saying "please Sachiko" in their head 9 times, and then ripping the paper doll, but suddenly an earthquake hits. The floor gives out, and they fall.
They were sitting in one spot, so like the floor couldn't carry all their weight.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, I agree. I was just going to mention that Ace kind of forgot the fact to mention that supposedly they're only allowed to say it 9 times, or else. I would have totally been the type of person that says it 8 times and then moved on.
Were they warned about that in that scene?
They were told, say it 9 times. If you mess up, you know, thinking these two words, just keep going. That's old.
Yeah, basically you'd only say it 9 times. You're not supposed to like repeat it if you screw it up.
Unique New York.
I did find it funny that we just see them stood there, not doing anything, not moving, not saying anything, because they are thinking "please Sachiko" 9 times each.
I said it with them.
Yes, I took a note of that. I was laughing that they're not going to have the scene go in real time. Are they? And they did.
I mean,
it's like a joke that goes on way too long and it gets annoying, but they are so committed to the joke going on longer and longer that it starts being funny because of how committed they are.
A better version of that scene is like showing each of their faces in turn and hearing their thought of "please Sachiko," like one by one, and then at least something's happening.
Especially because the camera just stares at them and you're just looking at them forever and you're like, wow, we're doing this.
I don't know, like that still could be really funny, because then you could just imagine it cuts to someone in a completely different place or from a completely different show saying it. It just keeps cutting to the new people. And cuts
suddenly
to a dog.
Cuts to Goku for some reason.
Goku from the Abridged series. Just randomly. thinking something during a fight. Why did I think that?
Okay, anyway. We return to Naomi in the present and get the opening titles. And after that, she finds out that she's twisted her ankle. She spots Seiko laid on the floor nearby. They try to open the windows, but they're sealed shut. And Seiko's phone doesn't have a signal. They leave the classroom and walk down the hallway, not noticing a child in a red dress appearing and disappearing behind them. Seiko molests Naomi before needing to take a wicked dump, requiring some cream, which Naomi is carrying.
I wish I had that cream in high school.
Naomi tries another window and then spots a clock which isn't ticking. She spots a scary reflection and spins around to find Seiko. The reflection was not Seiko.
The reflection looked like Seiko.
They finally look. They finally locate the exit, as well as evidence that they're in an old elementary school, like they thought. And they discuss their home lives for a bit, even though they have no idea where they are or how they got there. And the two theories that they have are spirit world or abduction.
Hey, don't judge. That's how you cope sometimes. Oh my god, I think I've been abducted. Where are you from anyway?
I was going to say that they clearly have issues. So... But no, it's just bad writing.
They finally try the door and it doesn't open. Surprise, surprise. Naomi hears laughing children, but Seiko doesn't. They go to the nurse's office and Seiko wraps Naomi's ankle, which, remember, she sprained. They lay down on a bed to get some rest, but Seiko realizes that she's misplaced her part of the paper doll, because they were all to keep them. So she heads back to the bathroom to find it, making Naomi stay put. The stopped clock in the hall suddenly ticks and starts to chime. Surprises Naomi, but what shocks her even more is that she can't move or speak. A desk light clicks on and a pencil begins writing in a journal all by itself, and then the walls begin to bleed and a chair moves close to the bed before a spirit starts assaulting Naomi. Out in the hallway, Seiko suddenly reacts to something and then hears a thud behind her. Turning, she finds half a girl. Seiko screams, which helps Naomi fight off the spirit and free herself, but the door is blocked by masses of hair. This is never explained. She manages to escape the room and the spirit disappears. Naomi then spots someone sat in a chair, but upon approaching it, finds a rotting corpse. And behind her is the red-clothed figure. But Seiko finally returns, only to get yelled at for taking too long. So she runs off.
Yeah, that bitch. She should have been faster.
I know you screamed first, but I screamed loudest. Seiko hears someone calling to her and heads towards the sound that only she can hear, because we can't hear it. Naomi wonders why she shouted at her friend and decides to apologize, so goes looking for her. Instead, she finds body parts. Then she hears the clock chiming again, and upon investigating, finds the tube of butt cream she gave Seiko earlier. She even says that this is definitely the tube I gave Seiko.
Just in case you didn't remember the butt cream.
She enters the bathroom, but hears a curious sound. Opening one of the toilet stalls, she finds Seiko hanging from a rope. Naomi tries to help, but fails, and the red-clothed figure smiles. The episode ends with Naomi narrating and revealing that this... Well, I thought it was Naomi. It might not have been. Revealing that this is Heavenly Host Elementary School, as if you hadn't guessed. And we get the credits. Episode 2 opens with gory murders and a narration about how the curse of the school causes corruption in people's souls. The narrator appears at the door of the bathroom, where we left first episode, offering condolences. She then tells Naomi that she's the only person alive in the school and will be alone forever. And we get the title. We open back on Morishige, trying to smash a window open. The girl that we just saw with Naomi tells him he might as well cut that out, as they'll never be able to return to the outside world. and then she disappears in front of him. That doesn't seem to faze him as much as her not answering his questions.
Yeah, he seemed really stressed about the questions. Like, he knew she was a ghost, but that didn't matter. He wanted to know where his friends were.
We cut to Satoshi and his sister, Yuka, as he reads a newspaper about murders at Heavenly Host Elementary School in 1973. Why is that paper there? Like, no teacher would think it's a good idea to have that in school where other kids might see it.
I mean, here's the thing. My other question was, why is the paper there if isn't this taking place when the murders were happening? So the paper shouldn't exist.
It's a spirit world, which I suppose answers both questions.
That's a good point.
Yes. Hand wave. Spirit world. Everything is possible.
Everything is possible.
I don't know what that's the reference to.
Yuka says that she needs to pee, so they go looking for a bathroom and find the stall that unknowingly was where Seiko hung herself, but it's locked.
I don't know. Could be a different bathroom.
Well, all of the stalls in where Seiko was, that was the only open one. But where these two are, that's the only closed one.
Wait, did they show... Because I know that they showed the bucket of guts several times. Did they show that when they were entering the toilet that time? Like, the second time when it's closed, that cabin?
No, not that time. Also, we didn't see the butt cream ever again.
Well, it's in another dimension.
Well, that comes up later. Items can like be in multiple dimensions at once, just people can't be.
Huh. Yeah, but what if you bring an object from the
okay, that's true.
Living world?
Yeah.
Because their clothes aren't floating around.
That's very true. I apologize.
Ah, gotcha!
As they look for another bathroom, they pass corpses, and wow, Yuka was really able to stay brave in the face of such brutal death. She's like 8. They locate Morishige taking photos of what appears to be an exploded human against a wall. He mentions that he's seen disturbed students from other schools. We, up until now, had not seen any other students, except in the opening where other students are murdering each other.
Isn't the half corpse that Seiko saw also another student? Because it wasn't any of their main cast, was it?
Yeah, that's never explained. I kept expecting it to.
Right? I was like, again. But I want to know who it was.
They then decide to split up and look for the others and meet at the entrance. Morishige adds, as a by the way, that there are horrible child ghosts who he saw murder a student from another school. Like, maybe a heads up about that first, not as you're going.
At that point, I was iffy about his trustworthiness, because we don't see him encounter the children ghosts, but then he mentions the friendly ghost, and it, like, increases his credibility, but then we know that Sam is direct. I'm sorry, I spoiled it. Cut this.
Yeah, he doesn't mention there's a nice ghost too. Elsewhere, Shinozaki is freaking out while looking at the clock that we'd seen earlier, while Kishinuma tries to calm her. They're attacked by a little boy ghost, but it disappears before it can kill them. Instead, they're talked at by the narrating ghost, who Shinozaki calls Naho. She calls her that as she's walking away. They follow her to the library, and Shinozaki explains that Naho was famous for her research of ghosts because she had a blog. I couldn't help but wonder, what did she have in the 1996 original game? Because blogs weren't very common back then.
What about the board game variation?
The tabletop RPG from 1800s.
It was probably a stone tablet or something.
Well, if blogs weren't very common, it's easier to get famous, right?
I suppose. If you tell people what a blog is, so that they go and find your blog.
To be fair, I don't know how internet was in Japan, because from what I saw, it's kind of a completely separate thing from, like, the English-speaking internet. They're, like, they don't intersect a lot.
And why would you want to? Except to visit GameGrid.com.
Yeah. Is Dawson waiting for on the Japanese version of the site? He is, right?
I can only imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Naho explains that the only way to leave the school is most likely connected to the original four murders. She reasons that if the ghost of the murderer can be made to repent, then they can get free. Unfortunately, the nine of them weren't all brought to the school in the same plane of existence, so they need to find a way to cross dimensions. This happens once on purpose later, and every other time is by accident. Naho disappears, leaving a doll behind, and we smash cut to Morishige trying to get into a science classroom, and he does not manage this. We then cut to Ms. Yui reading the gory details of the four children's deaths. As she walks, she hears laughter and opens the door to find Mayu with two of the child ghosts. Mayu says that she wants to stay at the school with them, but as Ms. Yui seems to be getting through to her that that's not a great idea, the teacher is hit by psycho power and flung across the room. The two ghosts then grab Mayu and smash her into the wall, causing the exploded human that Morishige was taking photos of earlier. And then Ms. Yui is killed. No. Don't spoil it.
Now you don't spoil it. I wasn't saying it. Like, my push to talk button is not equivalent to spoiling, okay?
We cut to Morishige missing Mayu, and then having a good chuckle about all the corpses he's taken photos of, including the exploded one, his favourite. His phone suddenly starts ringing, and he answers it in surprise, only to hear Mayu asking him to not look at her insides.
Which is, like, disturbing in multiple ways. The trope in anime, like, when girl says, don't look at me, right?
Yes, it's usually in an ichi situation. We cut to Satoshi and Yuka, still looking for a toilet, when they come across the red-dressed ghost who tells them to follow her. She leads them to doors which lead outside, though on either side of the covered walkway, there are corpses. We see this area several times, and this is the only time we see the corpses.
What I'm amazed is the fact that you can remember we saw that area several times. I don't know when we passed down the same hallway, like, ever. It all looks the same to me.
Well, Ace has the map from the board game version.
They have two buildings. They have the main building and an annex, and connected by a walkway. So every time they're in the walkway, that's the one walkway.
Okay, that would have probably helped me not feel so lost.
That's why you need to study more architecture.
Or I have acquired the board game 200 years ago. Like Vampiric. Wait, I'm Vampiric Artura. Damn it.
What kind of vampire wasn't alive 200 years ago?
No, what kind of. I didn't know it was going to be important, okay?
Yuka says she can't hold it anymore, so Satoshi tells her to hop the fence and go pee in the woods. Yuka asks the ghost if she wants to go, and they head off together. Before he heads inside, not, you know, waiting for his sister, Satoshi finds a student ID on the ground, and inside is a torn piece of a paper doll, so he assumes they did the same friendship ritual. He enters the building, and we check on Yuka, just getting over the fence, but she spots a ghost and stops. The red-clothed ghost is no longer there. She's inside with Satoshi. Yuka manages to escape the ghost and enters the doors, but Satoshi has disappeared.
Look, I just gotta say at this point, in what universe do you let your younger sister go pee outside with a group of corpses and you're like, anyway, I'll see you inside, bye!
He even smiles as he says bye.
He leaves her with a ghost, it's like, yeah, she'll protect you. Don't get me wrong, there's no reason to believe the ghost is evil, but at the same time, there's no reason to believe the ghost is benevolent.
No, those corpses came with the dimension, like the furniture. They were just there when the ghost bought the dimension.
It was a bundle deal.
I think they're just trying to subvert your expectations. They set it up, the like common trope of a guy having a sister complex, and like it turns out that he has the opposite. He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't like his sister. We cut to Shinazaki and Kishinuma, who are setting a candle in hopes that the others will see it, even if they can't see each other. They exposit that the doll they have belonged to the murderous teacher. Turns out it wasn't actually a teacher. So hope that it can be used to get their repentance. Instead, the doll begins to talk as if it was the one who murdered the four kids. And that causes Kishinuma to fall through a wall. Inside the wall, he finds a pouch containing something that belonged to the boy ghost which attacked them earlier, and the ghost appears, asking for it back. The ghost attacks, and it turns out it was his tongue, which Shinazaki manages to give him, causing him to disappear. They decide to find the other tongues, figuring the doll would help. Cut to them having found two more tongues. Like, we're still in the second episode, two more episodes to go, and I thought, oh, so they're going to spend the next two episodes looking for these tongues. Nope. Immediately. She says that the fourth child survived and would need to be appeased some other way, suggesting that they gave the two tongues to the other two ghosts already. So they cut out a lot to fit this into four episodes. We cut to Yuka calling for her brother, when she hears a noise and finds Murashige bludgeoning a corpse. At least now it's a corpse. We don't know if he found another student.
Wait, yeah, where did he get a crowbar?
From the corpse.
Maybe he brought it with him.
She runs from him and manages to hide while he's ranting that he wants to take a photo of her corpse. And she stupidly apologizes out loud to her brother, and isn't immediately murdered. Instead, she's found by Yuya, a student from another school. He offers to help her find her brother as he's looking for his sister. But Murashige finds them both, so Yuya stabs him in the neck and says he'll protect his sister, meaning Yuka. We cut to an unconscious Satoshi pointing at a photo of the remaining ghost, and the episode ends. The third episode opens where we left it, with Yuya taking a photo of Murashige as a favour to the dying boy, because then he can be in his phone with his dead friends. He turns to Yuka and tells her that everyone who winds up here will die, but until then, they should be siblings. Then he'll make sure she has a merciful end. But an earthquake cuts them off. We cut back to Naomi, who is still where we left her, in the bathroom. And her phone goes off. She answers it to a voice asking for help before it switches to her mother, desperately trying to get in contact, but unable to hear Naomi replying. The voice changes back to the one asking for help, and then the school starts to shake, and the floor cracks, and we get the opening titles. We open back on Satoshi, now awake and reading about the survivor. He wondered why he'd seen her as a ghost if she survived. I mean, it was in 1973. Just because she survived immediately following the attack doesn't mean she lived for more than a week. Like, use your critical thinking skills.
But people die when they are killed.
Yeah, you have to keep in mind the type of protagonist we've been following for a while. Is this really so far-fetched?
Okay, I suppose. He stands up and spots a videotape titled Kibiki Report. This never comes into anything, and is dated 2005. He says it's recent. So, I mean, we still don't know what year this takes place in. Was it 2013? It's definitely not 1998. There's also a notebook which talks about the charm of Shinazaki Sachiko, the correct count and its undoing. So we start to piece together the friendship charm is what brought them here. We cut back to Yuya and Yuka, but not for long, as Yuya is smashed in the head by the same hammer that took out Ms. Yui. Back at Satoshi, he tries to leave the room he's in, but is locked in. But he's joined by Naho, who tells him that someone didn't count to nine, please Sachikos, which is why they're in this mess. She says a lot of things, and then casts a spell on him, sending him into another dimension.
Something came to my mind. You know how some people, when they count, they don't go 1, 2, 3, they go like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, or 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. So you go like 1 Sachiko, 2 Sachiko. Oh shit, I cursed myself. I'm gonna do the rest of them later.
Make sure it's no more than 9.
Okay. How many did I do?
I won't tell. Three.
I don't want him taken to another dimension. We got more podcasts.
It's okay. He's a goblin. They'll just bring him back.
I'll respawn.
We cut to Kishinuma, who is back at his school, along with Shinozaki. As she wakes, she spots a tear in reality. On the other side is Heavenly Hosts, but it seals behind the ghost Toki Kano, who steps through. She explains what happened before and up to her abduction, and thanks them for trying to give her peace. Unfortunately, the tongue and the doll's repentance weren't enough. They needed something else. When they accuse her of being the reason they were dragged to Heavenly Hosts, she explains that the four ghosts were just a small part of that plane of existence. To the curse momentarily losing its power, Yuki was able to send the two teenagers back to their school, but soon every spirit at Heavenly Hosts would go insane and kill the remaining humans. She offers to show Shinozaki what happened to her, and she does. So we cut to 4 bound children with Shinozaki in place of Yuki, and the manic of doing the deed blindfolds her before the first 2 children are killed. We hear it and see some things. When it's Shinozaki's turn, or Yuki's turn, her blindfold comes off, and we see that it was actually the survivor, Sachiko, who committed the heinous acts. Shinozaki asks Yuki to take them back, and while she doesn't want to, she agrees. Kishinuma, however, refuses. Yuki takes Shinozaki through a rift, and we cut to Naomi's underpants. It was really a case of anime has some crazy camera angles, huh?
Yeah, I'm not touching that.
Good, she's probably not old enough. She wakes up and starts thinking about how she's now alone, so she cries. But upstairs, Satoshi finds her phone and hears her crying through the hole in the floor, because he appeared in the bathroom, it seems. He goes to find her, and she embraces him, and together they get Seiko down from her noose. We then cut to Yuka, still hiding from Yuya, as she doesn't know he's dead. She turns to tell the girl in red, who we now know to be Sachiko, that there's no sign of Yuya, but Sachiko's glowing like the other evil ghosts. Yuka wets herself, I mean, she's been holding it in for hours by this point, so fair play, and runs away. She then hides her underpants in a drawer in the science room, but it turns out that's where Yuya is hiding. He's alive and now missing skin on the left half of his body, but very much not dead. He attacks Yuka while Sachiko watches, and we cut to Shinozaki, who comes across Morishige's body, but hears Yuka scream. And so does Satoshi and Naomi. We cut back to Yuka, tied down to a table, where Yuya tortures her. He's suddenly killed by Kishinuma, who appears literally from out of nowhere, who is in turn attacked by the man who was accused of the murders. Shinozaki manages to free Yuka, and they run, with Kishinuma being killed in the process. Shinozaki, Satoshi, and Naomi manage to escape to the covered walkway, where Satoshi holds Yuka as she dies. And then we cut to Sachiko holding what we assume is Yuka's eye and laughing. And the credits. Final episode opens on a spirit murdering someone on videotape, and then we get the titles. This was the first time that it was really quick to titles rather than waiting like 10 minutes. We come back on the 3 surviving students having just watched the tape. Shinozaki then reads from the notebook that Satoshi had found earlier, and explains that the person they just saw killed was a fantasy writer who was investigating the school with a cameraman, who also died. Naho had followed their path and apparently pieced all of this together. If you hadn't been paying attention to the last 3 episodes, this sequence was a fantastic information dump. Basically, they need to get Sachiko to repent, then perform a ritual with their pieces of the paper doll, and before Naomi can reveal that she's lost her piece, there's a tremor. They split up to look around the school, and a door reveals itself in front of Naomi and Satoshi. Satoshi, I thought at the time that he didn't notice her obviously stealing a piece of paper from one of the corpses, and then they go inside the nurse's office. Why was this door hidden, but it wasn't hidden earlier?
Let's chalk it up to haphazard writing.
Clearly, Naomi has forgotten what happened last time she was there, and they find the pencil writing in the diary by itself, with the sound of a voiceover and cheering children. They read the diary when the pencil drops, and the entry is from 1953, apparently written post-mortem. The nurse's ghost appears beside them, its neck snapped, and mutters about killing, quote, them. It doesn't seem she's talking about the kids, but they leave. We cut to the library, where Shinazaki is confronting Naho about putting that curse on her blog on purpose. She doesn't care that she's been found out. There's nothing Shinazaki can do, and it might get her praised by the dead guy. But she killed the dead guy. That's what they just watched on the videotape, and when confronted with this information, she dissolves and leaves a notebook behind. Elsewhere, Toshi is reading from the diary that they stole from the nurse's office, and from context, they reason that Sachiko has been murdering children because she doesn't want her mum's spirit to be lonely. Why was this diary from 1953? Was this a subtitle error? Because the kids were murdered in 1973, but if the nurse died in 1953, and it gets confusing. I shouldn't have mentioned dates at all. Back in the library, Shinazaki is reading about Sachiko's mum and how Sachiko went missing after her mum apparently fell down some stairs and broke her neck. Upon leaving the library, she spots Sachiko and follows her, stopping when she hears raised voices. Satoshi and Naomi enter the covered walkway, intending on going to the headmaster's office, when the headmaster hits the floor face first and then disappears, repeatedly. We cut to the office, and it's filled with spirit seals on every surface, which Naomi comments isn't normal. Nada. Satoshi opens a drawer and picks up some scissors, which cause him to have a vision. It's the headmaster stood over Sachiko's part-buried corpse in the basement. Or something that seems like a basement. When he comes to, Satoshi finds that some stuck diary pages are now unstuck. If you guessed that the headmaster killed the mum and the daughter, then you win the podcast.
Depends. When was I allowed to guess this?
Before this revelation.
Okay, then yeah, I won the podcast. Yay! I don't win things very often, you know, being a vampire.
A tremor causes part of the wall to crumble, revealing a ladder leading down. That was lucky. Elsewhere, Shinazaki discovers Ms. Yui not dead after all. Until a tremor hits and something falls, slicing her head off. Like, good shot, random tremor.
It's very clean cut. It was kind of gross and very disappointing because I really liked the teacher.
You like the teacher for all the 3 minutes she's in.
Well, she seemed friendly.
It kind of sounded like you're talking about the clean cut and that you like the teacher. It's like, oh, I wish she got a cool death, like her head is ripped off rather than cut.
I mean, that's a good point. I was thinking while watching this, usually in horror movies, I root for my favorite characters to die. Because, like, I don't want them to have to outlive this trauma.
Oh.
Naomi and Satoshi are wandering around and locate a room full of implements covered in blood. They hear footsteps and hide under the table. The footsteps belong to the accused man who had brought along Seiko's body. He removes her tongue, then drags her away, and Naomi gives chase. Satoshi loses track of her immediately, and so Naomi has found herself in front of a static-filled television, and she's surrounded by dark spirit energy / smoke. Energy smoke? Yeah, it sounds cooler if it's energy smoke. We cut back to Shinazaki, who finds herself in a room that has a corpse-filled blood pit in it, having apparently passed out and just appeared there. Satoshi enters the room, and they're joined by Yuki, who says that Naomi can't return to the real world until she's dealt with her own demons first, as the corruption has her. Satoshi asks Yuki what happens if they don't use their own scrap of paper doll, but we cut to the room where Sachiko is buried, and the accused man seemingly hung himself, not answering that question.
A dick.
Sachiko's spirit attacks them, and Satoshi is injured. And we cut to Naomi and see what she sees on the television. It's her hanging Seiko. Her phone goes off, and she receives lots of messages or missed calls from Seiko, and that manages to bring her back to her senses. She hears Satoshi scream as he's finally fully stabbed, or partly stabbed, and she runs off to go find him. I don't know why he didn't step back or like to the side. He's just trying to hold the scissors back.
I will argue back with the same thing I told you a while back. With this cast of characters, does that surprise you?
You're so mean to them. They're gonna die.
He fends off another attack while explaining to Sachiko's good spirit, which has popped up, and her evil spirit, which is, you know, attacking them, everything they've discovered. There's a flashback to the headmaster killing Sachiko and her mother, and evil Sachiko stops actively trying to stab Satoshi. Good Satoshi then apologizes, and the two spirits disappear. A tremor hits, and Yuki reappears to tell them to get the hell out. They manage to get to the covered walkway again, and Satoshi gives Naomi his piece of the paper doll, since he did notice that she'd stolen one. He reasons that she can use his, and he'll use Yuka's, because he was already carrying it. My question was, why risk the two of you getting screwed by not using your own pieces of paper and just give her Yuka's?
Because chivalry, guys.
The ritual is to chant Sachiko please once each and then once for Sachiko. So they say it one by one, and then they all say it together, which seems to me that like that's too many times.
They also got Goku in on this.
Like both girls say it, and the boy says it, and one of them should have said it for Sachiko, not they all say it for Sachiko.
Yeah, but if they say it at the same time, it cancels out.
They're bathed in light and disappear, and they arrive back in the classroom safe and sound. Well, Shinozaki, Naomi, and both of Satoshi's hands, anyway. And then we get the credits. And then there's a post-credit scene of Naomi's mum talking to a doctor over the phone because Naomi has severe PTSD.
What did I say? This is exactly why I wish my favorite characters die.
So, was it a good adaptation?
Yeah, from what I got to see, I remember playing the board game in the 1900s, and it's just word for word.
I think the actual game has multiple endings.
It does,
yeah. But I think, like, from what I got to see of it, it's pretty much very close to what it is.
I actually played the PSP version up to about the nurse's office, which is about an hour into the game. Unless you're speedrunning it, then it's like 10, 15 minutes. I checked. But yeah, it adapts the story well enough. I did watch a long play. I watched through the best ending. The five of them survived to return home. It did also answer why Naomi's mum says that she keeps talking about her imaginary friend, because everyone who died in Heavenly Host was apparently wiped from existence. Nobody remembers them.
What? That's weird.
Yeah, so she's there talking to her mum about her friend Seiko, and her mum's like, who is this person? I've never heard of them. Nor has the school or anyone you know.
Yeah, I think there's like photos of them that are blank from what I read. It's weird.
So is it a spooks up, a scares down, or a boo?
I think it was a spooks up. I wished it was longer. I hope that it was like a full TV series and we would deal with time loops and like...
find out where that half a girl came from.
Yeah, especially that. Especially, I actually, that's a bit of a different matter, but the part where she tries to take to save her friend from getting hanged, it's like, okay, I'm gonna try holding her. Oh my god, that hurt her. Oh my god, I'm gonna try to undo the knot. Oh my god, came across to me like a video game moment where he like a point and click adventure moment where you try different things and you just make things worse because you didn't know the right answer.
Or it could be like a Quantic Dreams QTE. Oh, you failed the QTE, so now you pull down on her instead of pushing her.
I guess I was thinking a bit about, I don't know if you know, RE0. It's about a protagonist who, when he dies, he goes back to a specific, like, a save point, so to speak. And, like, I know how I fucked up. Now I can do the right thing. I'm going to grab the bucket first. In my imagination, he appears in Corpse Party and he tries to save the girl who's getting hanged. He grabs the bucket right away because he knows.
So Hatsuhara, spooks up, scares down, or a boo?
So I'm torn between spooks up and a boo for this one because, you know, in hindsight, when I watched it, when I was watching it, I actually surprisingly enjoyed it, especially for the darker themes that I don't tend to like and all that. But when looking back on it and doing this podcast, there's just so many problems with it. Like, just leaving your sister with a smile and being like, see you inside. It's like, no. There's a limit as to how stupid horror protagonists can be, and this kind of just pushes that.
I guess I didn't really talk about my reasoning, but I think it's a nice, decent mystery. And, like, I didn't expect it to have great writing for characters. I thought it seemed like schlock right away, which is a genre that I enjoy. It can be stupid, but it still has that little mystery. Sorry, I cut you out.
It's okay. Seeing it from that point of view, that's exactly it, right? Like, it depends on how I'm looking at it that kind of, like, sways me. I enjoyed it. But as a horror thing, sometimes it feels like the characters are too dumb when it comes to, like, this detective thing and then a mystery and trying to figure out who done it, basically, because we had, like, five different culprits. It was interesting, though I do wish that we hadn't just skipped the tongue part where suddenly everyone had finished, because from there onward I just felt discombobulated. I didn't know who knew what.
Well, for me it was a spooks up. I didn't enjoy the gruesome elements, but it's well made. The story does what it should, and it does it well. But yeah, it was super gory.
Well, yeah, it was.
Arturo is wrong.
Well, I did say spooks up or boo, like, and no, I do agree. It was a bit, it was a bit much in the gore aspect. I like that it pushed the envelope of what's okay by, you know, torturing Yuka and letting us see so many people get, like, horribly killed. But I don't know. The gore element got taken a bit too far, which is usually why my wife and I try to avoid gore things. It's just, it becomes a crutch rather than a narrative element.
That's fair.
So, finally, does it deserve its My Animalist score of 6.42?
I felt it was quite low. I don't know. Like, again, as a person who doesn't like horror, it was pretty good. So, no, I think that was quite rough. I definitely bump it up to like a 7.5 at minimum.
Yeah, I could go higher. I think that, like, horror, if you just nailed the fundamentals for it to be some mystery, some decent mystery and some tension, then, like, it's definitely in the positive.
Okay. Yeah, I got no issues with the score. It could go higher. I wouldn't put it lower, but yeah. And that about brings us to the end. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Gus.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Spooky Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on gamegrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grimcast podcast. Until next time, scream on.